and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, the tremble of cold, the feminine abyss, and reaching my threshold, staring at the tree till I'm blind.
Well, hello there out there in Afterrot Land. Welcome back to Wednesday. As we always do every Wednesday night, you should be here. And if you aren't here already, maybe you should be buried. One or the other. I'm not going to really comment or hold it against you. Tonight, we have a guest author of some books from Raventail Publishing by the name of Greg Stumbo. By the way, Greg, I hope I pronounced your last name right.
You nailed it, man.
Excellent. I always like people who have names that are like, I can pronounce that.
I didn't pick it. It was given to me.
Oh, well, you know, you can always claim it for your own. It's all good.
Well, I think I'm going to kind of go with it. They put it on a bunch of covers, so I think I'm stuck.
Excellent. Speaking of which, how's life? How's the weather?
Oh, life and the weather is amazing. Down in North Carolina, right on the coast. So I was out on the golf course today, sun shining down, nice cool breeze. You couldn't ask for anything better.
Wait, so you're near ocean stuff?
Oh, very near ocean stuff.
Ooh, I'm jealous. A little bit jealous.
Yeah, you can be. You're allowed to be jealous over that.
Well, yeah, that I am very jealous of, because the biggest thing I have is a Great Lake.
Mm.
Which
it's
is
like
fun.
A...
But I'm not swimming in it. Fish pee in that.
Yeah, yeah. Among other things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about yourself. What have you been doing over the little while? I hear you have a book that came out this week, officially.
As a matter of fact, yes. And I was so excited for this one to come out and everybody to finally get to dive into it. It's called Crossover. It's Alice in Wonderland meets a space odyssey. And it gets really messy.
Messy's fun.
Yes, yes it is. Yes it is. Well, unless you're the characters in the book, because it did not go so well for a good number of them.
Well, it's not like they had any control over things.
Well, the ship's artificial intelligence kind of had a lot of control over a lot of things. And once it got its hands on a copy of Alice in Wonderland, yeah.
So it took it as a blueprint. That's kind of terrible things, can I do?
Yeah. and believe it or not, even though they're in space, there is a croquet game.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can get behind that. Yeah, I can actually see that. Anti-grav croquet or with gravity?
Oh no. There was the gravity on the ship and it was messy.
Oh, I get it now. Yeah. I get it. I understand. A little bit of kinetic energy directive stuff.
Yeah, something along those lines, yeah.
Wonderful. So I like the cover. Who did the cover?
Raventail. They do all my covers, and I have yet to be disappointed. They always surprise me, and I'm stunned. And that one in particular, I was really shocked because it's the first book that I did in space, and it's the first cover they gave me that wasn't black. So
yes, I noticed that most of the rest of your covers are all black.
Yeah,
which is fine. There's everything in its right spot. And that one popped, it's blue.
Yeah.
Bright blue.
Yep. And they stuck the Cheshire Cat grin on there. I didn't know that was coming. So
I like the grin. The grin actually fits. It's like, oh, if you're gonna keep with the Alice in Wonderland motif, it's like, yes, you gotta have a Cheshire grin.
Yeah.
So cognitive.
Yeah, that book was so much fun to write. I just, you know, I can't wait for people to start getting their hands on it and see how far it runs. Cause, if I had that much fun writing it, I know everybody else is going to have that much fun reading through it. So.
Excellent. So I see it's only available in Kindle right now online. When does it come out in paperback?
They haven't given me the date yet. It usually takes a few weeks between the initial release and when the printers can actually get it scheduled.
Are they staggering that on purpose, or is that just the way it is?
Well, we don't. Once the book is ready to go, they don't hold it. So pretty much when after the formatting's done and it can be released electronically, it's released for Kindle. And at that moment, the formatting is sent to the printer and it goes on the printer schedule.
Oh, okay. So it's processed.
Yeah, yeah. And that's pretty much held true for my other five books. The Gen Z 4, Dead for Life, that one's out on Kindle, but the paperback has not yet come out on that one. But the paperbacks are out for all the rest.
Including The Mutilated Mind, Parasomnia, yes. And horror novel?
Yes.
Which looks like you were writing that with someone else.
Jeff Crawford. What a great guy. He and I are going to work together again, too. I mean, he is such a great, easy guy to work with. And I mean, we just meshed right out of the gate. So
cool.
I'm looking forward to that. We were talking about doing something probably later in the year, because we both have a lot of chainsaws up in the air at the moment. So we just got to clear a little space.
Actual chainsaws or just a euphemism?
You know,
because I can't never tell sometimes with some people, because my brother has a chainsaw now and it's like, he knows I'm a horror guy, but he gets the chainsaw to himself.
I do own more than one chainsaw. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay then. I'm not going to your Camp Crystal Lake. I'm just going to leave that there like that because I've seen that movie and all the sequels.
Yeah, but remakes. You know, you gotta really push me, man. With the price of gas these days.
Holy crap, it just jumped to... it was the first time I tried pulling an almost full tank in the car the other day. Because I've been just doing it at half a tank, so it still feels like it's a full tank, and it's just paying the same price.
Right.
Oh, my God. That was a bit of a shocker.
But your wallet cried a little, didn't it?
Well... The credit card did. He said, oh, no, I'm melting. No, I didn't say that. But the squirrel certainly did.
Oh, yeah. That's what I got to do, is I got to get these squirrels in my yard to start digging for gas.
You got lots of squirrels?
I got a fair number. I got a couple of pecan trees and an oak tree.
So nice.
This giant oak right off my back deck. You know, they'll come right down the tree and they're sitting, you know, 4 feet away from me screaming in my face. You know,
I was going to say, do they ever yell at you? Yeah, I have a lovely little apple tree in my backyard. And during the later part of summer, they start eating anything that drops off it. And it's like, I don't care. Eat whatever the hell you like. It's just going to fertilize the ground or feed you guys and the raccoons, the bunny rabbits, and the other things that crawl around out there. Whatever. It's all good.
And then you get your squirmy little cleanup crews just wiggling and crawling in under the skin and chewing the fleshy bits.
They don't last that long out there. Something comes along and eats them all. I'm not going to comment. It might be a creature of the dark.
That's a little creepy, dude.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It used to be that an old feller in the neighborhood would come by and pick up all the apples that fell because he was too old to reach up and pick any that was down. Apparently he was taking them and making apple pies for himself. It's like, dude, knock yourself out. Take as many as you want. I don't care. I'm not eating them. But whatever. So I'm getting the general impression you like zombies.
Always have.
Excellent.
Always. Well, I mean, from the time I was about 15, I guess. So, yeah,
cool.
Very, very long time.
What kind of zombies are you a big fan of?
Actually, I like most of them. You know, once you start getting into, like, you know, Resident Evil and, you know, Silent Hill, to where they're just, you know, so far beyond mutated, it stops being fun for me. But still good movies, you know, good games.
Mm-hmm.
But Romero is still the top. When he brought that out, I mean, there are just so many things about that movie that were perfect and, you know, groundbreaking. And that pretty much set a really solid standard. Then I watched some of the, you know, you get some of the 1980s, you know, campier style zombie movies where it's, you know, more about the gore and the zombies than it is about the people. Yeah, you know what? That's fun to sit around, have a few beers, have a few laughs, but it doesn't
bladder,
stick.
Boobs, action.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. It's a great formula, but it's really narrow field. I like a lot of zombies. Like, I watch a lot of movies. And I like some of the ones that come out more recently that are just like, how can we take this in a different direction? And it's like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah. What was that?
Anything
most
recent you've been into?
What's that?
Anything recent that you've been into?
I think the movie was called Alone. Guy ends up trapped in his apartment. And the hallways are full, you know, I mean, these are high rise apartments, I think down in Florida from the looks of it. So the hallways are full of zombies and everything else. And he's in there for, you know, over a month. And at one point he sees somebody else who's trapped. Obviously, you know, since it's a guy, that's a girl that's trapped across the way, you know, so they're putting notes back and forth. But the clever ways the guy had to figure out to, you know, get around from apartment to apartment without, you know, getting mobbed by the zombies that just hung out in every hallway and every stairwell was...
This one's got Donald Sutherland in it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he did do a small part in that.
Yeah, it looks like he's in for a 5-10 minute bit or whatever.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a bunch of different movies called Alone.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was like, first one I poked, I was like, sounds like no zombies. This one has zombies. Cool. Well, if you like that kind of style, I have a suggested movie for you if you haven't seen it.
Okay.
It Stains the Sands Red.
Stains the Sands Red.
The name title alone was like, this sounds like it's either poetic or some kind of weird psycho mess with you. Turns out it's a bit of both. It's about one zombie and one person trying to survive.
Really?
Yeah. In the Las Vegas desert. It's an awesome movie. It's very simple, very low budget, but very well done. Very smart.
Oh, I'm game then. I really like indie films.
So it's
always a crapshoot, you know.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes you get, you know, a great storyline, but, you know, lousy production and lousy acting, and it's just like, ah, you know. And other times you get, you know, great acting and an okay storyline and you know, somewhat decent production, and I call that a win.
Yeah. So, or you get massive good production but a terrible story.
Yeah.
It's like a good mix of variety stuff. And this is why I love zombies. There's so many different things out there that you can play with.
Yeah, and so many different takes you can go on it, you know.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
28 Days Later, you know, kind of...
I love that movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, they wanted to do their own thing, so suddenly zombies were running.
Yeah. Well, you know, they kind of explain that. It juices up the system, and then if they're not continuously feeding, and if they don't feed for 28 days, they expire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, great, that's an idea that actually makes sense, that you can have a super virus that does that kind of thing. Well, the rage virus, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And there's always the debate, are they zombies or are they not zombies? They're zombies in my book. I don't care if somebody else doesn't think they are.
You know, if they lose their mentality and they're eating people, they're zombies.
We don't necessarily mean Florida man bath salts.
Oh, no, he was a zombie.
Totally. Actually, I would buy that.
That there proved to me that the zombie apocalypse is definitely capable of happening.
Uh-huh.
Because you had a police officer stop and see a man eating another man's face. And he got up and started running at the police officer, and the police officer shot him, and he kept running at him.
Yep.
And the police officer shot him again and again and again, and he's still coming, and it didn't cross his mind, hey, this is the zombie, I should shoot it in the head.
To be fair...
If the cop's not going to shoot a zombie in the head, we're going to have zombies everywhere.
To be fair, that's a really difficult shot to make. Unless you're like 3 or 4 or 5 feet away. And then it's like, okay, now it's easy. But, you know, you're 20 feet away, a little difficult.
Yeah, everybody thinks, oh, well, I'll just do this with the, you know, in a zombie invasion. I'll just do that. Dude, have you ever actually tried doing anything like that?
Exactly. This is the discussion I always get into with people. It's like, oh, yeah, I'd survive a zombie apocalypse. I have guns and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, you last about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Most important survival technique, disengage. Do not engage. And everybody says, oh, yeah, I'd just be kicking ass and everything. It's like, yeah, you'd be dead in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So all this pop culture stuff with zombies or whatever, does that help influence how you're writing your books with this Dead series? Oh, Dead series.
Yeah, so the title in the first book is ironic because, I mean, the whole series is a zombie comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it starts out with these, you know, guys in their 20s, and the zombies basically interrupt their weekly Dungeons and Dragons game.
Terrible thought.
Yeah. So, they end up surviving the initial onslaught by doing nothing. They just pin themselves down into the apartment and sit around drinking beer and smoking cigarettes till the power goes out. And then they're like, oh, I guess we got to do something now.
Wait, who's got the last can of beer? Yeah. Oh, I do. Oh, so, when we get more? I don't know. Why don't you try eBay? See what happens.
But the thing is these guys just, you know, I mean, they're not athletes. They're not, you know, they're not military. They're not heroes. You know, they don't actually know how to do anything. So they're, you know, they're stumbling along, you know, fighting themselves more than fighting the zombies, just trying to stay alive. So
do we consider them slackers?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to go.
Yeah, it's a funny thing to watch slackers involved in any kind of environment. It's like, you have real slackers who's like, yeah, you're probably dead soon. And then slackers is like, oh, I better get off my ass and do shit. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, real life, real world. You know,
that and they're, you know, more or less the latter. It's, you know, once they realize there's, you know, there's nobody gonna bail them out, they got to do it on their own. They, I love those guys. They try so hard, but they don't give up, and that's, you know, that's why I'm currently writing the fifth book. So
excellent. So I see the second book says, so that didn't work. I like that. That's a good tagline.
Yeah.
So what is that one about? Is it continuing the exact same thing, or does it do even
better? Yeah, it's a continuation. You know, just finding a safe place to be, you know, any place where they can just kind of call home for a little while is not as easy as they thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want to give too much away from the first book, but there's an ongoing theme from book to book that just involves them trying to settle down and get comfortable, and, you know, trying to work with, you know, other groups and other people that are out there. Well, they keep trying. That's what I'm going to say. They keep trying.
So it's like being insane, where the more you keep trying the exact same thing and expecting a different result is like, hey, you be crazy.
Yeah, 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 more or less like that. I mean, well, just picture it this, you know, just picture the geeks that you went to high school with and, you know, imagine trying to get through a zombie apocalypse with those guys.
My group of high school friends might be a little bit more survival based.
Well, I didn't say friends, I said the geeks.
Well, my friends were the geeks.
Oh, okay.
But they were also the geeks that were a little bit more into how do we survive.
See, that would make a boring book.
I know. Exactly. That's the whole point. It's like when they say that, you know how they have that, oh crap, what the hell is it? There's a site online where if you type in a movie, there's a how it should be kind of thing. It's like, yeah, if people made the right choices when they're in those environments, movies are done in 5 minutes. and boring. Right. Conflict.
Don't go into the basement, but we got three seams to film down there. We're going into the basement.
Exactly. Turn the light on before you go in there. Oh, and there's a light on? Yeah, don't go down there. You hear that theme music? That means trouble's coming. Oh, wait, it's difficult when they do fourth wall breaks type movies now. Deadpool still did a well job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when he got all blown up.
He got blown up real good. So, now how long have you been being an author? How, like, do you consider yourself an author? Because I know that some people I speak to, some people think, like, oh, I've got imposter syndrome. I don't really necessarily feel good. Blah, blah, blah. And some people's like, God damn it, got my first one out. I'm a goddamn author.
Yeah, I'm more in the second camp. You know, when I was just writing because I wanted to write, I was a writer.
Right.
But once I got my contract, I'm like, no, now I'm an author.
Excellent.
So, that's where I put the line up for myself. I don't, you know, I'm not in charge of handing out titles. So what other people go with, God bless them.
Yeah. Hey, that's the thing. I mean, like I said, I mean, there is such a wide range of people that get into the whole writing biz and authoring biz. There's like some of them are real go-getters and some of them are just like, please like my book. Ah, somebody commented in the chat room. You have to love the heart of the guys in these books. They definitely learn to improvise in lieu of actual survival skills. Hey, I think that person's read your book.
It certainly sounds like it.
Excellent. It's good to have people who've read your book show up.
Oh, yeah.
Because I haven't read your book. I only see the blurbs and the quick excerpts from Amazon. It's like, oh, okay, this is fun stuff. It's like Cabin in the Woods, but with zombies. Well, not the torture zombies that showed up later and did the messy stuff. But they could be.
Well, after we got the covers done and everything got out, and then I saw some of the reactions from people. I'm like, I really wished I would have written a different blurb because, you know, people take the book way too seriously when they look at it. So, you know, it's but, you know, then I kind of, you know, I said two things to myself. Number one, dude, it's already out. All right. It's already done. You can't undo that. And number two, as people start to find out more about it, then the whole irony settles in, and, you know, and so I in the long term, I think it'll work out just fine.
Excellent. Now, are the covers, the pictures post, the artwork of the individual characters that are on those books, do they represent the characters inside the books, or are they just randos?
No, that's a zombie chick. So,
okay.
That's something that the art department put together, and it's the same zombie chick across all of them, just different.
I was just looking and scrolling through them, and it's like, okay, that one looks similar to that one, but that one doesn't look as similar to that. But okay, I guess so. Yeah, that's cool. That's actually a neat way to integrate the books and the covers and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you know, to you know, put the characters on the books. Here's the thing. Everybody who reads those books is going to see a different character.
Absolutely.
I kept descriptions to a very, very, very bare minimum. Because it was kind of unnecessary.
Right.
I didn't need to, you know, say this person is, you know, 5'8", 170 pounds, or built da 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 da. The only, you know, I did two primary character descriptions, and one was for Buddha. They call him Buddha because he's got a beer belly to be proud of. And then later on, you meet Clark, and his character description is he had a beer belly to rival Buddha's. That's it, you know. You don't know if these guys are white, Asian, you know, African American, Native. They all grew up in the same, you know, suburban type area. So, you know, it's how they look is entirely up to the individual reader.
So for you, it's more about the theater of the mind rather than being like Stephen King and describing the crap out of everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. That's one way to go. I like
it. You know, it works. My publisher has a certain word count I've got to stay in, so if I want to get the story, you know, and all those descriptions like Stephen King does.
Well, there's a few other writers that do like that as well, not just Stephen, but there's a bunch. And it's like, hey, whatever works. I mean, I'm a big fan of H.P. Lovecraft, and I like some Stephen King, but Lovecraft more so. He just, like, way left field on some of those descriptions and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it's non-Euclidean math. What the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah. Oh,
I know what it means, but back then when I was a kid and reading this stuff, it's like, what the hell? I had to look that shit up. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well, he was building an entire world and scene that was different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not. I'm dealing with stuff that you know, is pretty much anywhere and everywhere. So if it's commonplace, I don't spend the time on it. You know, if my characters are going into an office, I'll tell you they're going into an office. You know, you don't need to know if the carpet's blue or brown or, you know, if it's got wallpaper or white paint.
Okay. Fun. So I'm sure you've met some people who are into science fiction, fantasy, horror, fan base, right?
Yeah.
It's like, why did you make him go blue when he did the red thing? It was said before, 50 pages before, it was the red thing, but you made him go blue. Why? My favorite line like that is in a movie, Fanboys. Sir, if we went into the captain's blah, 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 and whatever, and what would we find in there? Standard issue bathroom. I think we'd find a captain's log. It's terrible, but it's hilarious. Because you're like, the guy who was saying this was like, he's not thinking it through, and it's like, I don't know where he's going with this, but I'll just go, oh, you asshole, you got me on that one. I love that. This kind of stuff is funny. But then I'm a geek and I've been doing this for a long time.
Well, yeah, you've had a decade's worth of practice now.
Just for doing this show. Yes, 10 years, man, 10 years.
Yeah, that's woo-hoo. That's mind-blowing.
That's me boasting my own, blowing my own horn there for a sec. Exactly. So, speaking of... No, I'm not going to go with that line, but... so, the current World Series of Events, the so-called pandemic, etc., has kind of put a crimp on a lot of marketing plans. So now that things are coming back together, I mean, how long have you been putting your book out and getting stuff out and stuff?
Actually, since October.
Oh, so you're fairly recent.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. I signed on with Raventail. I talked to them in September. I think I signed the contract early October. And excuse me, my first book was out before Halloween.
Nice.
So, and then I've just been stacking them.
Excellent.
Stack them and get them out.
Yeah, well, once you've got the mojo going, put it all out, and that way when you get the slow period, you have time to just settle and sit on the laurels and then build up more laurels.
Yeah, and that's how it's going.
Cool.
You know, I've got two other books open, like, right now that I'm working on that I just, you know, I'll sit down, reread some of what I wrote, and dive back into the story, kick out a few more pages, and when I start to slow down on that, bounce over to another document, and yeah, whole new story, whole new world, and run with that for a little bit too.
See, a lot of people will say, I don't know what happened to when I got like a writer's block or whatever. It's like, and what you're just describing is exactly what I do as well. I'm stuck, do something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of ways you can approach that, but some people will say, I can't do anything. I'm stuck. I'm going to, And then they just drop it and never get back to it. And it's like, that's a waste.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it can, you know, if you get hung up on something, it can get downright frustrating.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's why I like to keep multiple projects going, you know, because it's, you know, I'm not getting any pressure from my publisher to, you know, get more books out. I mean, mm-hmm. I gave them six, and I mean, Jeff and I literally shit them a book in 2 weeks when we were working together. So you know, I mean, they've just been nonstop supportive, you know, and but they don't come and say, all right, when's the next one? You know, they're not hitting me with deadlines.
Cool.
So
they've been good to work with.
They've been awesome to work with.
Excellent. Like, they haven't been around very long. How long have they been around?
Raventail, I think, opened under that name in June, but they're a division of Dusty Saddle. And right. Dusty Saddle's been around for years and years and years and years and years, publishing Westerns. So they wanted to branch out and cover horror, so they so Raventail is pretty much just the horror imprint from Dusty Saddle. So they already had all of the gears in order. So I mean, you know, they already have an editing team and a marketing team and an art department, and you know, they already had all the resources in place.
Cool. And as I'm rereading their about page, it's like, oh yeah, that's right, I did read that before, and I completely forgot about it. I remembered the Western part. I just didn't realize that they were fairly new like that. And that's cool. I'm glad to hear that they're very supportive, because I keep hearing so many different stories in the industry. I mean, the small press publishing industry is like, yay, we're all awesome. Boo, you suck because whatever. And it's like, yeah. How do you navigate that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been, my ear's been to the ground on this for about 15 years now as well. And it's like, I don't really care about it. I hooked up with a good publisher. They then did their thing. Then I hooked up with another good publisher. They did their thing. And it's all been good. I've been lucky. It sounds like you're getting the same kind of luck dealing with a good publisher. It's like, yeah, let's do good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got nothing but great things to say. It's not even good. It's great.
I hear horror stories about people's interactions with others, and it's like, huh, I'm glad you shared that so that I don't get stuck with that.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean,
I think some people are kind of their own demons sometimes too, though. I see a lot of things on social media where, you know, I think they just set their expectations way too high.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and when those expectations can't be met instantly, they, you know, they just kind of crumble in on themselves and get angry.
And so, they fall prey to the standard social media things. Nobody likes me. I'm sad.
Yes. Yes.
And then they don't break out of that and say, well, screw them. I'm going to do shit anyways.
Right.
Some do. Some don't. That makes me sad. But everybody's got to do their own thing, right?
Definitely. Definitely. Because if somebody tries to do my thing, I'm going to knock them down and kick them out of my yard. That's my thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Obviously, then, I don't know. Have you done any conventions yet?
No, not yet. I'm going to be looking into the ones to pick to do for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I can get into some in the late fall. So, okay. That's definitely on my radar, but it's not anything that I've got even plotted yet.
Well, dang, we can't talk about convention experiences then if you haven't done any yet.
No, I know.
But we can go with what are your expectations when you do get into one?
My expectations to pretty much sit around at a table for an exceptionally long period of time and wait for somebody to come and talk to me, and then I'll just jabber on too much until I scare them off.
Well, I'm going to help you with one thing. So the one thing that I always recommend at every convention you're at, don't wait for people to talk to you. Talk to them. Just start saying, hi, how's it going? And half the time you'll get people that say, oh, hey, I'm doing good. Oh, you want to talk to me? Oh, great. Okay, cool. Maybe. And then you can tell them a book. The ones
that's
who just walk
just
around.
Just get out from behind the table and interact.
Yeah. And that's what I used to do all the time, too. I would step behind the table because it was too busy out front of the table. But if it wasn't, I'd be out front. I mean, we have a big convention here called Fan Expo in Toronto. And there's usually about 40 huge guest stars. And every once in a while, the guy who plays Abraham in The Walking Dead was one of the few guys that I've seen do this. So instead of behind the table on a podium, which is a little raised from the person's like, oh, hi, Mr. Guest, you're really famous. You get out in front of the table and you talk to them like people. And you hug them, you do whatever else. I'm not suggesting hugging people, but whatever. You get out and you actually talk to people. And it's like, that's the coolest thing.
That's good advice, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like what we call in the retail environment, it's called engagement. Because if you don't engage them, half the time they're too afraid to engage you.
That's true.
So now if we can't talk about conventions, we can talk about social media. So what do you do on social media to gather impressions and get reactions from people and get them interested in your books?
So it depends on the site because the algorithms work differently on the different sites.
Yes.
So let me start with Instagram and say, I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Most people don't.
You know, it's, I don't even know how to, you know, share stuff. You know, it's, you know, the publisher put up a promo and, you know, and they tagged me in it. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I push a couple of things and I'm like, I don't even know if that went out. I got no idea what I'm doing on Instagram, you know, but I can build a killer video and get it posted up in the reels. So,
okay, that's good. Yeah, I know. That's actually a good thing.
That's the only thing I can do on Instagram. Now with Twitter, I actually engage with other people as often as I can. In fact, there's a bunch of Raventail authors on there, and we poke and nudge each other. And like today was Adam Hulse's 43rd birthday.
Happy birthday, so, Adam!
Yeah, and we. We, you know, we're retweeting his pinned tweet to get his book out there. And, you know, we're constantly making fun of each other and just having a grand old time. But we also support each other's stuff.
Excellent.
So, and that's proven to be really, really helpful because, you know, I've got 1,500 followers, you know, Radar's, you know, I don't know how many followers he's got, but he's building up. Andrew Weston, I know he's been on your show.
Yep.
You know, my followers are not, you know, we don't share a lot of followers. So, you know, they put something up and I retweet it. It goes out to my people and they do that. So that's, we're kind of getting our own network built that way.
Cross-pollination.
Yeah. I engage with other authors as well. And do the same thing. So it's, you know, I'm not just locked into, you know, Raventail with, you know, what I'm doing with Twitter.
Yeah, you have to explore and expand your own context so that other people can say, hey, he's cool. I like him.
Exactly. Yeah. Except then I actually do have to be cool so that they will actually like me. So, you know, it's kind of like setting myself up for failure and then crossing my fingers.
Yeah, cool is actually overrated. Just be. That's my motto. It's whatever. But then I'm a little weird and people keep telling me that and I tell them, go away.
Now, one of the things I do enjoy doing is putting together different gifts, different, you know, little videos or, you know, actually building promos that'll catch your eye.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I learned that I used to run a production company. So,
oh, awesome!
I don't suck when it comes to graphics. In fact, the cover of Crossover, when I got that, one of the first things I did was I sat down and built an animation to where that smile appears and disappears and reappears and disappears.
Excellent.
So. Which, you know, you'd think, oh, well, you just got to, you know, get the smile out of there. That's textured space.
Yeah.
back up in there. That's the, it's not like you're just taking an eraser to it.
Ah, so you know how to play with video and editing and stuff.
Yeah, to a certain extent, yeah.
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 Well, I agree. I mean, that's a great way to get your visibility improved, because science has proven that we humans see things that move more than we see a static image.
That's right, because if it moves, it's lunch or we're lunch.
Exactly.
So we have to know to react appropriately.
Feed or fight.
Yeah.
One or the other. and yeah, I mean, there was a time there, I mean, about 8 years ago or something like that, where everybody had to put a book trailer out. It's like, oh yeah, I got a new book out. Here's my book trailer. My book trailer sucks, but it's really important that you see it. Or my book trailer is awesome, and it's like better than the book. But I don't see book trailers as much anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. We were actually working on one. Not me and Raventail, me and my best friend Rain.
Right.
She was building one, but we had a problem with the final scene in the trailer, and it really just wasn't gonna mesh right, as in the video quality compared to the rest of the trailer was gonna be, you know, and so we ended up just not, you know, it's like if we can't do it right, we're just not gonna do it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Although, for $186, I can tell you of a movie that was their entire budget, and I watched it. I was like, what the hell am I watching? What the fuck? That's funny. That's stupid, but it's funny. But it's like, okay, I see what they did. But it's like, oh man, there's a range there. But yeah, no, I exactly. I mean, why would you put out anything that's second rate and just be noticed like, oh yeah, they cheap ass crap, and it's like, ah.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, everything else has been done, you know, top notch. You know, the Rain does my proofreading for me so that I know, you know, it's good before it even goes into Raventail.
Excellent.
And, you know, and they put together these fantastic covers and do the promos and stuff. So, yeah, it's I don't want to trash up my own work like that.
Right. So you have a support team.
Yes.
Give them some love. Talk about them.
Okay, so this whole writing thing wouldn't be where it is now if it wasn't for Rain. It was her fault that I went back to these zombie comedy books. I'd actually started writing the books, I want to say around 2007, maybe. And it was on a lark. I'd written, you know, short stories. I'd actually written a young adult fantasy novel years and years ago. But I wanted to write with no rules, absolutely no rules. So everything that everybody says, you know, you should do this when you're writing, make sure you don't do that. I said, I'm not listening to any of it. I cracked my knuckles, said, let's just have fun. And I sat down and I did it, and I punched out a couple of pages. And then life got in the way.
Life.
Busy, you know. I had a career. I was running a business. I was in a band all at the same time, you know. So it just kind of got dropped. Yep. And I was sitting on her front porch a couple of years ago, and she said, whatever happened to that zombie book that you were writing? Because I really liked it. And I said,
don't you just hate it when people are positive about something?
I went and had to dig through my emails, and I finally found, you know, the first couple of pages. And, you know, and so I sat there and I kind of read through it, and I'm like, oh no, that's enough. I can pick it up from here. And just sat down and punched it out. And kept going and kept going and kept going. And so by the time Raventail got their hands on it, it was three books worth.
Cool.
So, and all because she brought it back up, and then, you know, and then she's been right there with me, you know, helping me with proofreading and, you know, any ideas that I need to bounce, you know, beta reading, and she's been fantastic. I couldn't do this without her.
So we blame Rain for everything. It's all her fault.
Yes.
Excellent. Definite. And any other members of the support team?
I do have a particular librarian who's making sure that my books are getting out into meldable minds. So
she's in the chat room. Fanbase.
What's that?
She's in the chat room.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, it's your library fangirls, the one she posted earlier.
Oh, I should probably take a look at the chats, huh?
There's not much happening in there. I think everybody's too timid to say anything. Usually there's a lot more going on in there. Feel free. Ask questions. I will ask him the questions if you post it in the chat room. Or I might make up new ones. I'll probably make up new ones anyways, because that's what I do. I talk all the time.
There.
Oh, you will bite them if they ask anything.
Of course I will.
Okay, well, you're a zombie fan, so I can buy into that.
I don't write fantasy novels. I don't write fluffy novels.
So what you're saying is no Twilight?
No, no Twilight.
I have never seen that movie. I have no intention.
Well, you know, the first movie wasn't so bad. By the time they got to the third movie, it was just teenage girl hormones too much for me. I couldn't, you know.
And I'd be okay about that in some movies, but the whole sparkly vampire thing was just, he's 400 years old, she's 15. This is just wrong on so many levels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, okay, whatever. So, anything else besides Facebook and Instagram and Twitter? Are you on any other platforms? Because I know there's 100 of them out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a new platform coming out.
Not new platforms.
Oh, yeah, this is a new one. It's called Copper. So I'm waiting for the information. It's supposed to release next week, but they had some exciting things planned. But then there's another Feed My Reads. Feed My Reads. It's a blog. It's a review site. He does author interviews, and you know, it helps. You know, helps authors promote their stuff. I mean, it's fantastic. He's, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship.
Excellent.
You know, he's building his site up by helping us, and we're helping him build his site up. So, so there's that one as well. And I think those are the big ones that I've got going right now. Cool. I mean, of course, Amazon and Goodreads.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff just gets posted up automatically once it comes out of the thing, and you just have to massage the data. So it's like, hey, look, it's actually a real person.
Yeah.
Do you have your own website?
Not yet. Not yet. In fact, I just started poking around with that. I think it was yesterday or the day before. At least enough to get a splash page and
cool.
You know, place for links, things like that. So. I don't think I need any kind of a serious, in-depth, interactive website.
Oh, come on. You got to have 3D squirrels running around the screen going, feed me your bits and stuff.
I'll tell you what. I've got all kinds of bits that I will feed squirrels if they will program it for me.
Okay.
I will give them full creative rights.
If somebody out there wants to program for bits, go and reach out to Greg.
Not Bitcoin. I can't afford that mess.
Wow.
We're talking squirrel bits.
Squirrel bits. That's a whole different, what the hell do they call it?
I got pecans, I got acorns, I got walnuts, you know.
Oh, that's just knucking futs.
Yes.
Well, you can't pay me with that stuff, because unfortunately I'm allergic.
I'm going to keep that at the back of my mind, just saying.
Okay. So, obviously, deadlines are not a thing. What's your favorite movie?
Yeah, okay.
Because there's another question too after that.
I don't know. Pin down. I might have to say the original Matrix.
Well, it's a good movie. I like that movie.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it also has that whole, you know, down the rabbit hole theme. So,
yeah.
It's.
So did you enjoy the remake that they put out this year?
I don't know yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
I don't know yet. I was trying to catch it in the theater, but I didn't get to catch it in the theater. And so, you know, now I don't want to see it unless I can make it a big event. You know,
okay.
So I'm gonna wait until I can just, you know, shut off all the lights, kick on the big screen TV, you know, turn the volume all the way up, you know, pretend I'm in a theater.
Good
plan. And be completely uninterrupted.
And I recommend one thing. Don't go in with preconceptions, because I know a lot of people said they hated the movie because, oh, they didn't get what they thought they were getting. Don't think that it's going to be that kind of movie. Just think, this is a movie and a story.
Okay.
Because I actually liked the movie, but I also knew a little bit more about it before going into it. And I knew it wasn't going to be one of the other three movies that came out before, or my favorite one, The Animatrix of that series. But it was still a fun movie.
All right, well, we'll see. It's going to be an event either way. There will be popcorn.
Excellent. Mine is always Hickory Sticks. I love Hickory Sticks.
Well, it's better than Pixie Sticks.
You know,
if you cough while you're eating a Pixie Stick, you'll choke to death.
You know what's worse than that? Having one of those big 2-foot Pixie Sticks and then having somebody smack the back of your head while you have that on the ground and having it go through your cheek.
Oh.
I've had that happen.
Hmm.
Only time I've ever been in a hospital to get surgery and get stitches done.
Yeah, but you know what? You gave me a nice visual of that scene. I'm going to borrow that scene. It probably won't be a Pixie Stick, but... You know, I'm thinking somebody's getting poked through the cheek now.
Well, yeah. Have you ever seen somebody with those body modifications with the cheek cut out? How do you eat food?
Oh, not with the cheek cut out. No.
Well, they have a hole in the side of their cheek. It's like, what's the purpose? So you can breathe easier?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like...
Certainly so you can't drink.
Not if you want to keep it inside you. There's all kinds of things out there in the world. The world is wacky, wide, wonderful, and weird sometimes. It's all kinds of weird stuff. So, what's the movie you hate? And I'll tell you right now, my movie that I hate, a number of people in the chat room know it. It's called Battleship.
Battleship?
Battleship. So it's based on the board game. Came out about 10, 12 years ago. I hate this movie because it's so wrong. They try and do a Fast and Furious the slide in a battleship that's been decommissioned for 40 years.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Oh, my God. You're going 40 knots on the ocean. You drop anchor. You don't slide. You either go straight down with the anchor snaps off, or the boat breaks in half. Right? No.
They're dodging all of those little white pegs that are coming down at them, right? I mean...
Yes, exactly. They had one cool thing that they implemented in the movie, and then everything else was pure shite. But that's my opinion.
I don't know. I think the movie that I hate the most is the one that I was in.
Oh, you were in a movie?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. It was... I don't know. Seemed like the production was going to be really good while we were there filming. There was a bunch of us. I was just an extra, but I did get an IMDb listing out of it. So, you know, I can't hate too much.
Oh, wait.
But the final
product. I have not seen that movie.
Which one? What?
I found it. It's pretty easy to find.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was something else. But no, I haven't seen that movie.
No, and most people haven't. The release on it kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed, and I think there's a hold up with editing and this, that, the other thing. And then I went and I saw it, and I'm like, the man made a vanity piece and didn't tell us he was making a vanity piece. You know, they would, you know, written by, directed by, produced by, starring. You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
it's got a lovely piece of cover art.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love some of those movies where it's like, oh my God, the cover art is so awesome. The movie's like, what the hell is this shit?
Yeah.
Now, there's some that actually take that and own it. If you ever get the opportunity to watch a movie called Velocipastor.
Velocipastor?
Yeah, it's about a guy who gets bit by a thing and turns into a velociraptor, but he's a pastor.
Okay.
And the thing he turns into is, you know those blow-up dinosaur T-Rex suits that are out?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah! And with a big claw duct-taped on his arm, it's like, oh, my God. And you know they were just having fun with this. This was not meant to be serious. There was nothing. It was just, we're having fun with this shit. And it was, like, awesome.
All right, I'm going to have to hunt that one down then. That's crazy.
And I love watching movies like that where you know they're having fun with it. And it's like, you can see it. You know it's not a lot of money, but that's not the point. The point is to have fun with a story. And it's like, I love shit like that. Then I love top-notch, like The Matrix and stuff like that too, but all good.
Well, I mean, you know, a good story and a fun time, it can be done anyway. It's, you know, you can do it to where everything's serious. You can do it where everything's campy. You know, I mean, for Pete's sake, I used to love the Munsters and Gilligan's Island. Oh,
did you hear Rob Zombie's doing the Munsters?
Rob Zombie is?
Was it Rob Zombie doing the Munsters or the other one? Adam's Family.
The Adam's Family?
He's doing one of them.
Well, the Adam's Family's been done a couple of times.
Yeah. No, I think it's the Munsters. Rob Zombie is apparently doing the Munsters.
That's going to be cool.
It could go either way as far as I'm concerned. Yep, Rob Zombie's doing the Munsters movie.
Oh, I love it.
Jeff Daniel Phillips is Herman. Sherry Moon Zombies. Obviously, Lily. Oh, interesting other people in this. Well, that's not got anything more than saying, hey, we're going to do this. So we'll see where it goes. By the way, do you know somebody by the name of Rasta?
Rasta Man, yeah.
He says hi in the chat room.
Hey, Rasta, how you doing, man?
See, live interaction with radio shit. This is why I like doing it, because I like being able to talk with people who are complete random. It's like, I don't know who the hell that person is. And I'm talking to somebody over here. It's like, I know who that person is. And they're like, hey. Of course, now the real big thing would be if I press a button, somebody's arm blows off or something like that. It's like, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, like then we got to start adding video, man. Yeah.
We don't need video. We got 3D interactive tubulars.
And that's what you want me to put on my website.
Well, yeah. You got to have the stuff. It's got to filter and do stuff. So, got a couple minutes left. What would you like to tell people in general?
In general, if you want to help authors actually get bumped up, you gang up on it. You do like a flash mob. The way the algorithms work with the sales, you get a lot of sales in a short period of time, your numbers jump through the roof, and then Amazon starts promoting you for free. So that's how you get, you know, show up in all the, you know, hey, you might like this, you might like this. Amazon picks those, you know. Mm-hmm. They also have sponsored ones, but they do their own as well. And they pull from that to send emails out. So to their Kindle subscribers and whatnot. So
yeah, they have an index thing. They say, okay, this is index this, index that, index that. You might like these. Here's a few others.
Exactly. And they pull from the ones that are sitting highest up, the ones that are showing to be really popular right now. They like to jump on trends. They force trends. That's the way the algorithms work.
Yeah. It's rat maze thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it'll drive you batty if you pay too much attention to it. So, because your numbers will go up and down and up and down, and you're like, I don't even know why. <You know?
laughs> Well, so, I call it a density factor. So the stronger your numbers are at one point, it continues through and it keeps building.
Yes.
And you let it fall, then it falls back and it keeps drawing down, and then it's just a continuous trend one way or the other.
Exactly. The other thing that I'd like to tell people in general is, you know, just if you're reading my books, have fun with them. That's, you know, it's not literature. I'm just telling a story. You know, I appreciate every single person who has read my books or even tried to read one of my books, and maybe they said this is trash, you know, but they made the attempt, and for that I'm grateful, because, you know, that it still all plays into the whole overall that keeps me motivated to keep doing it. So
have you gotten any negative reviews?
No.
Oh, because I was going to ask, do you pay attention to any of them?
No, I go through and read every review that I get, and nobody's trounced me yet.
Good.
And that was, you know, when the first book went out, I'm sitting there on pins and needles. I'm like, somebody's going to give me one star because I forgot to put a dot over an I on page 73. I know it's coming.
Yeah.
So
get a thick skin. That shit will happen. And you just say, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't had any negative reviews of my stuff either. And it's like, okay, fine. Should I push my luck and keep saying that or not say that at all?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, whatever. If someone wants to say something bad, it's not my problem, it's theirs.
Well, exactly. You know, the way I see it, my friends like it. My publisher liked it enough to spend money on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, get a cup of coffee.
Exactly. Or whiskey, whichever. I'm not advocating whiskey. Alcoholism,
Oh, no, I'm totally advocating alcoholism. It's yeah. My other job is a bartender, so I definitely want to see people drinking.
See, I was going to say, because your picture has a glass in hand, and you look like a bartender.
Yep.
But you did mention that before, so I didn't want to throw that in too much more.
Oh, no, it's fine. I put it out there often enough.
Excellent.
Oh. I don't make enough money off of selling my books to buy myself a giant Nicholas Sparks house down here. Shocker. I have to do other things to round out the earning a living part.
Okay, so you're part of the 95%.
Yes. Except I do not have a day job, so, you know, I can still golf when I want to.
Ooh, that's interesting. I still have to put in my 9 to 5, or 9 to 6, as well as the comic shop, as well as this, as well as a couple of other things as well. It's like, oh, that just keeps me a little occupied every once in a while. But it's all fun.
Oh.
What?
That's, that's from Leanne, the library. She had a teenage boy come in and check out Dead Serious, my first book.
Excellent. So that means you must have spoken well enough to them.
Apparently. Well, you know, the guys in my book aren't too bright, and it's a first-person narrative, so, you know, not a whole lot of big words.
Aww, I love big words.
Well, there are some in there. They're thrown in, you know.
Okay, I'm going to throw you my favoritest big word. Facetious.
That's a great spelling word, dude.
That is, but it's the only word in the English language that has all of the vowels occurring in the word in the same order that they occur in the alphabet. A-E-I-O-U.
Damn it, now I like that word too.
Exactly, see? It's just one of those words. It's just neat. And then you use it, it's like people, half the people understand how you're using it, and half the people is like, you're just trying to be a snooty ass.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but the word is just cool. So, I throw that out.
I'm not trying to astound you with my vernacular, I'm just trying to get my point across.
Precisely. Use the right word in the right instance. That's what they're there for. And the slimmed down language usage is also a good thing too, because that is actually a good way to be concise, quick, keep the pace moving.
Yes indeed. Well, and I did kind of want to hit a broader audience, you know. Mm-hmm. the reason I never thought about marketing this to the younger crowd is because of my excessive use of F-bombs. like at one point, you know, I was watching my word count and trying to round something out, and I'm like, yeah, he can say fuck about 6 more times right here. So it became like a fuck fuck.
Well, if your characters are in that mode, that's how real people speak.
Yes.
I mean, I've used that exact way of speaking before. It's like just to express, like, yeah, Jeff, you have any idea how angry I am? Well, gosh darn it, I am really angry. Would you like me to see it? Fuckity fuckity fuck fuck fuck. That's how people speak. Some people, not all people, whatever.
Oh no, I'm pretty sure in the middle of the night when that pinky toe runs into the coffee table, that's how everybody on the planet speaks.
Yes, or when they step on a Lego piece.
That's yes. That's,
yes.
And you know, spoiler, I actually put the Lego piece thing in a book that I'm writing right now. So.
Excellent. Because they make great caltrops.
Yes.
Spread it all across the floor. Bad guys want to come in. Ouch, 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 ouch.
Yeah, you will drop a 300-pound man with one tiny little Lego.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you're not wearing the right boots.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps us up. Did you want to say anything about any particular website or address, how people can find you, stalk you, get to know you better?
Yeah, if you want to find me on Twitter, the handle is @GenZBook. On Facebook, it's me, it's Greg Stumbo. Instagram, Greg Stumbo. Yeah, so I should be pretty darned easy to find out in the social media world. Amazon, I'm pretty sure everybody can find my stuff pretty quick and easy. So no, I don't really have a hard and fast plug.
Excellent. That's fine.
Hunt me down and enjoy the book.
I found you pretty easy on there. Greg Stumble was a fairly... By the way, there's an account with your name as well.
You mean the Attorney General from Kentucky?
That one.
Yes. Distant relation, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
And he's been my Google shield for years. And for the last 6 months, I've been working to kind of, you know, poke my head out from that curtain. So I'm taking
it's
my name back.
It's the density thing.
He's had it long enough.
Well, when I hit Greg Stumbo, author, into the Google search, you were the first one to pull up on the Amazon.
I'm winning!
Yeah. He was like number 6 with a Wikipedia.
All right.
Yep. So you're doing good. It's good. Now, that's an interesting book, but we won't talk about that one because that's got nothing to do with this at all.
Okay.
All right. So let's just wrap this up then. Everybody in the chat room, thank you very much for coming by and listening to Greg and I speak about stuff. Everybody on the streams, whether it's right now or it's coming out later, which it will come out, I will be posting this online tomorrow evening on afterrot.com, and I will be sharing it on the Facebook and the other places that Greg plays in. By the way, I tagged you on a Twitter and an Instagram.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I got you on the Twitter. I'll see what I can do with that tag on Instagram, because I don't know what goes on there.
It's all good. It's what everybody else sees, and that's the point. And then just somebody said they love the show, and thank you very much. And this is one of the marketing things that I like to use, and this is why I do this show as well, one of the reasons, is that one of the things that consumers love is they love to be able to identify with the author or the person who's doing their thing. So coming on like this and talking about it and being just a real person, it's something for people that they enjoy.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad to do it. It's
excellent.
You know, this is just, I mean, the whole package, the writing, the marketing, the you know, all of it. I love it. So.
Excellent. So everybody out there, have yourself an after rotten good time. Remember to check us out on the Twitter, check us out on the Instagram, check us out on the Facebook. Be the best that you can be. Eat cookies, and actually don't eat the cookies. Give me the cookies because it's better for you that way. That's like, it's, yeah, I'm just saving you from those. Come back again every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this exact same bat channel, tmvcafe.com/radio. Have fun, enjoy, and where's that button I got to press over there? What's the squirrel doing over there? Oh, wrong button. Let's go with the right button.